Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a wonderful series, could I say a life-changing series, on rest in Christ. Our topic today, Sabbath rest. It's not just about complying to a command, as important as that is, but experiencing a relationship with our Creator and Redeemer and resting in Him. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School, and welcome to the team. Good to be together again, isn't it? Yeah. We're excited that we not only have the five in the studio, but we've got some joining us remotely. I want to welcome Jonathan joining us today. Jonathan, good to have you with us. Rod, good to have you with us today. And Shana, good to have you with us today as we have our interactive study of the Word of God. We've enlarged our territory with the restrictions still here in the studio. And we're just praying that God would bless in a powerful way. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School viewers around the world, 200 plus countries around the world. And it's just exciting when you write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We share it with the whole team and we're blessed to hear. Here's a note from Carleen in Australia. Carleen writes and says, "Our family's been richly blessed each Sabbath by Hope Sabbath School. You are changing hearts and lives for Jesus, including here in Melbourne, Australia." Praise Amen. God. Thank you for all the work you do to share the good news of Jesus throughout the world. We might not be able to meet you in person, especially during this health pandemic, but we look forward to meeting you in heaven very soon. Amen. 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 Well, thanks so much, Carleen, for writing to us from Australia. MacLeod writes from Zimbabwe and says, "Your program has completely removed the barriers formed by the health pandemic. Now I enjoy an online interactive study of the Word of God anytime, any hour, and I share it with my non-Christian friends." Especially where they require Bible knowledge from your programs. Amen. Well, MacLeod, thanks for writing to us from Zimbabwe. We have many Hope Sabbath School members in your country, and we're glad you're not only being blessed, but you're sharing that with others. Here is a real-life card. Look at that beautiful card. That is sent from a donor. The donor said, "That's my card." We won't mention your name, but thanks for writing to us. Actually, from a couple in Canada, and they write and say, "Dear Hope Channel, my husband and I would like to make a donation. We watch Hope Sabbath School every Friday night. We enjoy the testimonies from you all. Please find a gift. Keep up the good work." And a gift of $200 for Hope Sabbath School. Thank you, Canada. Thank you for being part of the miracle. We're a donor-supported ministry. You can always go to hopetv.org/donate and you can make a gift online. Thank you so much. Brielle writes from North Carolina in the United States of America. "Hello, Hope Sabbath School." Hello. Well, Brielle got a wave. She's 15 years old. And she's been watching Hope Sabbath School for some time now. "I live in North Carolina," she writes. "My grandparents introduced me to Hope Channel." Go grandparents, right? "I used to watch you when I was young." She's 15 now, much older. "I used to watch you when I was young. Though I didn't understand all of what you said, I do now."
Wow. Praise God.
"Thank God for letting God use you. Please continue to do His work. I always feel near you all when I'm watching Hope Sabbath School. Please keep me and my family in your prayers. I'm watching you now. Love you all. I hope to see you in heaven. And I'm there to meet you also." Well, Brielle, you brought joy to our hearts from North Carolina. Thanks for writing to us. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from Beryl and Joe. They're Kenyans living in Denmark. What a multinational group we have. "Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. It's been such a blessing to be part of this worldwide movement. My wife, Beryl, and I have been following your studies from Denmark, where we currently reside. You've had an impact in enriching our own study and have helped deepen our understanding of the Word. We especially like the personal testimonies that often accompany the studies. Thank you for your enriching ministry. Well, I just want to say thanks for writing to us, Beryl and Joe from Denmark. You're a long way from your home country of Kenya, but we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And, you know, we've got Hope Channel Kenya back home, Hope Channel Denmark, too. So wherever you are around the world, you can download our app, our Hope Channel app from the App Store or Google Play, and you can watch Hope Channel programming in many different languages. But right now, we need you to sing our theme song with us. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's sing together. Enjoyed that song, we have a gift for you. We'd like to send you a digital copy of that beautiful scripture song, Come to Me, from the words of Jesus, plus 11 other scripture songs. All you have to do is go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and all you have to do is click on the button, Get Free Gift. We thought we'd make it simple. And you'll get a link and you can download all 12 songs and hide those words in your heart to bless your life, to bless your family. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, as we speak today about Sabbath rest, help us to understand more fully the precious gift that you have given to us as Creator and Redeemer. May the Holy Spirit bless our Hope Sabbath School team and our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'd like to begin by reviewing in a previous study, we talked about with the gift of creation that God gave a precious gift of sacred time. Yes. Now, in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, where it talks about the seventh day that he blessed it, mm-hmm. he sanctified it, mm-hmm. and he rested on it, mm-hmm. it doesn't actually call it the Sabbath. It just says the seventh day. Mm-hmm. How do we know that that is the Sabbath that he later refers to in the fourth commandment, John, when he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? What do you think?
It's interesting that right there in Genesis, it says that God had finished his work, which he had made, and Sabbath really means to cease from labor. And so I think implicit in that was that it was the day that God had completed, finished his work.
All right. Somebody else. So there's some clues in the wording of Genesis 2 and the wording of the commandment that tie the two together, that clearly this day, Stephanie, what are your thoughts? This day, Genesis 2, that God blesses, sets apart for holy use and rests on, is indeed the Sabbath of the commandment.
Right, because it says that he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. So he rested from all his work. And in Exodus, we see in the commandment that there's a rest for everyone in that home.
Okay, so that word labor. Parallels. Yeah. Yes, Sabina?
I'm thinking very specifically on Exodus 20:11, because there is a mention in the commandment.
Would you like to read that for us?
Yes,
Genesis,
I can read that. Mm-hmm.
Chapter
20.
Excuse me, Exodus chapter
Exodus,
20
yeah.
and verse 11.
Yes,
go
it
ahead.
It says, and that's in between, it's talking about the fourth mm-hmm. commandment. And part of the fourth commandment says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
It's the same day, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly linking the language back to Genesis 2. Mm-hmm. God blesses, he rests, and he sets it apart for holy use.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, I was blessed to grow up in a family that knew about Sabbath. My parents discovered the Sabbath truth when I was in utero. So my brother was 1.5. I was still in utero. My parents thought they were the only ones that ever found out about this amazing Sabbath truth. God has been sharing that with people around the world, even through Hope Sabbath School, right?
Yes.
But I don't remember when I finally came to realize it wasn't just about a day to kind of keep holy, but about a relationship. Mm-hmm. When did you come to a realization that Sabbath is about relationship, Sabina?
Mm. Pastor Derek, as you know, I also did not grow up, I differently than you, did not grow up in a Seventh-day Adventist family or a family that was keeping the Sabbath. So I believe because I already have a relationship with Jesus, when I came to understand also about the Sabbath, it was not hard to me to understand the heart of the Sabbath. So in all my honesty, I don't think I recall a time in my walk with God in which, at least from the moment I understood the Sabbath and started keeping it, in which I was keeping it with the wrong mindset, I believe. Even though we are imperfect, some days we may not be, you know, very focused, but I think generally speaking, I always had the understanding since the moment that I understood the Sabbath. Because before that, I not even knew that the Sabbath was a day to be kept holy as we teach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Rod, let me ask you a question. You didn't grow up in a family where Sabbath was something that you were aware of. How did you come to realize that the Sabbath was a special gift from our Creator for you and for your family?
Well, thanks for the question. I think predominantly it was just reading the Word of God, and I think His Holy Spirit revealing that to me. I've always been kind of a person that looks at things logically, I guess. And so to me, logically, if He created that day and He gave us rest, it was obviously not rest He needed. It must have been for Him to spend time with us or for us to focus on Him.
All right. And we keep learning, just like Sabina said, maybe we're at different places in our journey, but it's all about relationship He wants to have with us. Now, talking about relationship, there was something unique about the creation of the human family. Actually, several things that were unique. Jason, maybe you could read for us from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. I think you read that for us in a previous study. I think God's wanting to remind us that we're not here by some cosmic accident, that we're actually his handiwork. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27.
Right, I have the New King James Version here. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Now the word created, 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 rather than evolved, evolved, evolved. Right? Created. God created, created. But then, Stephanie, could you read the next verse for us in Genesis 1, verse 28? Because part of being created in the image of God is another special gift.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
So what special privilege did God give to the human couple, right, male and female? What special privilege did he give to them as their creator? Jonathan?
Yeah, he put them in charge of caring for these animals, for having dominion, which isn't control, but is kind of the caretaker, the steward of this amazing new world that he created and all the intimate relationships between the animals. So it must have been an amazing position to fill.
All right. There was something else, Stephanie, besides oversight of the creation.
So also creation ability amongst themselves, between the two of them.
Be
fruitful, and multiply.
So question, John, you have some children of your own. God could have just said, "Let the earth be populated," boom, right? And could have had a fully populated earth. Yeah. Why do you think he just starts with a couple, blesses them, right? Having created them in his image, and say, "Participate with me in my creative work." What do you think?
That's incredible that God would grant these creatures the ability to procreate and then to teach their children and descendants about the Creator.
So they were, their descendants were not present on the day that God first blessed the Sabbath and set it apart for holy use. Why do you think it's important then that we would teach our children, our family, about this gift of Sabbath? That sounds like that's something that's part of what God, our Creator, would want us to do. Jason?
Because God wants us to participate in the creation, and whether it's procreation as a husband and wife, or whether it's celebration of Sabbath, celebration of God's creation and rest, God wants us to be a part of this experience. He didn't just do this and then, you know, go off. This is a way that we interact with each other and with God.
I like the verb that you use there, Jason, celebrate. Yes, Rod.
I think what also is significant to point out is that God did this and gave us the ability to procreate, even knowing that eventually we would fall and turn away from him. So not only is that, you know, stunning, but that's also restful when you consider the fact that he must have already had a plan in order to redeem us. So we can take rest in the fact that even if we are sinful, God had made a way to redeem us.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. And as a parent, I can also rest that my children, who may not always make perfect decisions just like I didn't, are precious to God.
Amen.
And he loves them with an immeasurable and unfailing love.
That's true.
Well, back to the word celebrate, Jason, because the Sabbath is not only a time to celebrate relationship, but we're going to discover it's a time to celebrate our freedom, to celebrate our freedom.
Yes.
I'd like to ask Sabina if you could go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And read verses 12 to 15. Now, if some of you have read the commandment, the Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20, You know the wording of that commandment, right? But I want you to listen as Sabina reads now from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And what do you notice that's different in this restatement of the Sabbath command?
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Deuteronomy 5 from 12 to 15. And it says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day."
All right, so you're listening carefully. The first thing you noticed is instead of the word remember, Exodus 20, verse 8, we have the word
observe.
Observe. Mm-hmm. Different translations, I think, keep, observe. Why do you think that Moses, when he restates this fourth commandment, says observe or keep rather than remember? Any ideas? Shall we ask him when we see him? Dana, what do you think? Obviously, it's not, what's the word? It's not like fixed that it has to be said one way. He's restating. Why do you think he says observe the Sabbath here rather than remember?
So at this point, they would have already known that they need to observe the Sabbath. And so it was a definitive, like, this is what you need to do. Not a gentle reminder anymore. I know in a previous study, we talked about how Jesus had sort of the same tone when he was reiterating the importance of the Sabbath, but Moses was also letting the children of Israel know, like, you need to keep the Sabbath.
I think that's an interesting point. I saw several faces here on the team in the studio react when you said they'd already been told that. Now he's simply stating it again. Sabina?
Yes. I'm thinking also, Pastor Derek, that in Exodus, the context is that they had just came out of slavery. They had been so many years, hundreds of years enslaved, and much likely, you know, I don't think they were keeping the Sabbath in that context. They were just being doing what they were told to do. While here in Deuteronomy, Moses is just, you know, recovering that information they had more recently been given to them. So I feel like that the remember was more related to the fact that previously that had been a span of time that had passed without them being able probably to keep the Sabbath properly.
Remember something that had been forgotten, but now it's simply restating that. But what is the additional information that Sabina read for us, anybody, in Deuteronomy that isn't found in Exodus chapter 20? Yes, Stephanie.
So in Deuteronomy, it attaches the reminder that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, whereas in Exodus, it's at the very beginning, which it is also in Deuteronomy, at the very beginning of the commandments. Mm-hmm. But it's not seen right there with the fourth commandment.
Mm-hmm. So it's still a memorial of creation.
Right.
But it's also a time to celebrate our freedom. Now, Aisha, you've never been enslaved. You've never lived in a prisoner of war camp. But there must be something we could celebrate, some freedom that we can celebrate today in our relationship with Christ. What could you celebrate on Sabbath in terms of freedom in Christ?
Well, slave of sin or slave or different things that just draw us away from God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been caught in a bad habit or caught in a godless lifestyle. And on Sabbath, I can celebrate, right?
Yes.
Is that right? I know I'm British, so I'm supposed to stand like this. But actually, we could celebrate, right, Shana? What else could we celebrate on Sabbath? Aisha's saying, you know, freedom from sinful
habits.
Bondage.
Yeah.
Shana?
Well, I'm just thinking God worked before he rested, right? And so I'm also celebrating that I can have this moment to just unwind and reconnect with my creator and not have to focus on the arduous work or labor that I was doing on those other 6 days. And so it is a time of celebration.
Right. More, that would be more rest rather than freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have something on freedom? Yes, Stephanie.
Well, I was thinking of something on the same line as Shana. Freedom to have a 24-hour date with God and not be tied into the world's pattern of this is how you are successful.
Shane is nodding her head like, Derek, that's what I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so freedom from having to work 7 days a week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Sabina?
Yeah, what I'm thinking also is that I always often connect the Sabbath with the fact that God, previous to resting that day of the Sabbath, had already created everything that was needed for us to be alive even. The food that we were going to enjoy. So the same applies as we come again to the Sabbath with this mindset of, you know, yeah, we need to work and we are going to be fighting for the things that we need materially speaking, but we can be free even from material things that God have already provided and we will continue providing. So this relationship of trusting God as our provider also makes me feel free just to rest in Him.
So if all we had, the theme is rest in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I can rest in him on Sabbath because he wants a relationship with me. Mm-hmm. I can rest in him because I find freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Sin no longer has dominion over me.
Yeah.
But there's another aspect of Sabbath that we can celebrate, and that is the Sabbath is a time to actually do good, to reflect the character of God. I'm going to ask Rod if you'd read for us from Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6. And then John, if you could read 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. I think the God's plan for Israel and for the church are one and the same. Let's read first from Exodus 19 and verse 6.
I'll be reading from the King James Version, Exodus 19, verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
And it almost seems like we're reading the same chapter, John, as you read on in 1 Peter 2, verse 9.
Yep. And then in the New King James, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Now there's a theme there that we don't have time to unpack, but the mission of Israel in pointing to the Messiah is the mission of the Christian church in pointing back to the Messiah who's come.
Yes.
And all of the blessings promised to Israel are promised to the Christian believer, the follower of Jesus. But what do you hear in that idea? You are a priest.
Yep.
Chosen.
Kingdom of priests.
What do you hear implied in that? Jonathan?
They were involved in all kinds of services. They would interpret the law to people. They would help them with making judgments between things. So they were kind of this bridge between people and God, helping them understand God better and helping them bring their personal needs directly to a loving God and bridging that relationship.
In a previous study where we were talking about the four friends who got their friend to Jesus, Billy said, I need friends who help me get to Jesus.
Yes.
I think if we were to summarize in New Testament language what Jonathan's saying here, a kingdom of priests is people that help other people get to Jesus.
Right?
Yes. Right? So let's look at some examples. Even the stranger who is within your gates. Let's see some ways that Jesus did that, shall we? And Jason, could you take us to Mark chapter 1? And then I want to talk about what it means in practical terms for us today. But part of Sabbath is a great time to rest from our labor and help people connect with Jesus. Let's see what Jesus did in Mark 1. Verses 21 to 28.
All right. I have the New King James Version here. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you read the first verse, it was Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Typical reaction of the religious leaders when Jesus would seek to do good on the Sabbath day. Help me, someone.
Criticism.
What was their typical reaction? Shana, you're shaking your head. How did the religious leaders react?
They were upset and irate about the fact that this man is working on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. But he was doing good, Jason. Mm-hmm.
They were also confused, too, maybe because they didn't necessarily have a great relationship with God and they didn't recognize what spirit he was doing it in. Mm-hmm.
They would need to hear Jesus, who's the Lord of the Sabbath, say, "It's good to do good."
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm.
On the Sabbath day.
Yes.
Well, he had just cast a demon out of a person, mm-hmm. but the story continues. Aisha, if you could read in Mark chapter 1. Now read verses 29 to 34. It's almost like, to use an expression, that the floodgate is open. Mm-hmm. It's like they see Jesus do good mm-hmm. on the Sabbath, mm-hmm. and they say, "Me too, God," mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's read on Mark 1, verses 29 to 34.
And I'll be reading from the New International Version, Mark chapter 1, verse 28. 8-34. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was.
And later, they would speak and say, "We know who you are, Holy One of God." Right? Right? In fact, even here in the synagogue, he said the demons said that.
Yep.
So, miracle, setting a person free from a demon, comes to the house of Simon's wife. Did you know Simon Peter was married? Comes to his mother-in-law and finds out that the mother-in-law is sick. Mm. And did you notice what the disciples do immediately? What did it say in the text?
They told Jesus.
They told Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why? Why bother Jesus with the fact that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is not well?
They trusted he would do something about it.
Because?
They had just seen what he had done.
Okay, so the fact that he had liberated a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, could he set her free from the sickness? Mm-hmm. But it was the Sabbath day. Why didn't that restrain them from saying, "Oh, that would be work. We shouldn't ask him to do this on the Sabbath day"? Yes, Rod?
Well, I think they've just been shown that that rule or stipulation doesn't apply anymore. Like you just said, the floodgates opened up. And I think it's also significant that the person that he healed, this is one of the first examples that we see of somebody who gets healed and immediately goes into work helping the cause. You know, she said, it says in here that she immediately, the fever left her and she ministered unto them.
Right, so she became part of the team. She didn't say, thank you, Jesus, see you. She actually began to serve. Now, it is interesting, though, I think the disciples were beginning to understand that the Sabbath is a time to celebrate not only our relationship with God, but a time to celebrate the sharing of God's blessings. Yeah. They saw Jesus doing it. But did you notice what Aisha read there in verse 32, that at evening when the sun had set? Do you think the other folks were like, you know, we tap our feet in some cultures, you know, like were they checking their digital watches today and waiting, thinking, I'm not sure whether that's something that should be done on Sabbath. Should we wait? What do you think, Stephanie?
I think that's a real possibility. And they just wanted to play it safe. So let's just make sure that the sun is down and we can get all of the people healed.
All right. And Jesus rebukes them when they finally get there, right, Jason?
He does the same thing to them that he did with the demon-possessed man. He heals them. He doesn't distinguish by what they say. So whatever they think, it doesn't matter. He's going to heal, and he knows that they have faith. Maybe they don't understand every little point, but they have that trust.
He maybe could have said, you didn't have to wait. You could have come right away. Because the Sabbath is a time to celebrate sharing God's blessings with others. John?
We see a picture here where Jesus on the Sabbath extends God's blessing by relieving suffering. And that's the good that we each can do in the observance of the Sabbath.
Now, before we apply that, I'm going to ask Jonathan if you'd read for us John chapter 5, verses 7 through 16. John 5, 7 through 16. Because Jesus was misunderstood in his day. And by the way, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. We might even be misunderstood in our day. We might say, well, the Sabbath is a time to be holy. True. Celebrate our relationship with God. True. Celebrate our freedom in Christ. True. But also a time to celebrate by doing good. Well, let's see how the religious leaders responded in the time of Jesus, and then we'll talk about today. John 5, beginning with verse 7, Jonathan.
All right, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, the man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath.
And my version adds, "and sought to kill him." That's so funny. There's a few variant readings sometimes. A few words are not in one manuscript, but they're in another. You had persecute, right, Jonathan? This takes it to the next level. What is happening in the minds of these people, Aisha, that they would kill Jesus, or try to, eventually will, just for doing good, for celebrating, sharing the goodness of God on Sabbath?
Well, it made me think that they, you know, they might have been selfish and self-centered because, like, the disciples for the other miracle that Jesus did, they went and they got him to heal this other person. So they knew what he was able to do, but the priests, I think they were jealous and they saw what was happening and they thought he, you know, this man, what is he doing? He didn't have the same education that we had, and he just shows up and he does all these things, and they didn't get any attention to themselves.
So you think maybe some jealousy, some rivalry, Mm-hmm. They totally miss Sabina. They should be using my favorite Hebrew word.
Hallelujah.
This man's just been healed.
Yes.
Jealousy, rivalry. Mm-hmm. What else is causing such a hostile reaction? Such a misunderstanding of Sabbath.
Yeah, I think they just were misunderstanding the Sabbath. I think that they lost at a certain point, you know, when we look at the history of Israel, how they passed through many seasons in which they even let God alone and they were, you know, idolatrous. And so I have the impression that they came to this point that they were trying again to come back to the Word of God, because we know there was a time before that in which they had been, you know, away from God, and they just didn't know exactly how to bring truth together on what regards the Sabbath. I have the impression that it was ignorance, in a sense, and also disconnection from God for some time.
So they had all of these rules and regulations about you can't do this, you can't do that, that they were missing the true meaning of Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what about today? What about today? If I say Sabbath, do you say share the blessings of God with other people? Is that the first reaction? Should that be one of the reactions? Jonathan, what do you think?
Certainly that, if we're going to follow Christ's example. I mean, he went about doing good and healing people. I was thinking that sometimes we can look at maybe laws that define us or that we feel are especially important and try to feel that it is important to establish this homology across everybody, so that here Christ was attacking their identity, and so they felt like they had to, if they didn't stand up for them, they were giving up the very identity of who they were, and what Sabina said as well.
So, share a time personally. We're talking here about Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. Celebrate our Creator. That's good. Resting in Him, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Freedom in Christ. Those are all kind of personal, mm-hmm. right? And that's good. But also a time to share God's blessings with others. Share a Sabbath experience where you actually did that and just found a reason to celebrate as you were sharing God's blessings with others on the Sabbath day. Anyone have a story that comes to your mind? John?
I think in college was one of the greatest experiences for me in relishing what the Sabbath was truly intended to be. Because it was there that you chose and you had the choice to not do homework, even religious homework on the Sabbath, because it was that time set aside. It was a time where we would worship together with believers, and many of them were like in school with us. But that afternoon, we went out into nature. We took a hike, and there by the waterfall, we sat, we would worship together, and it was just such a meaningful time, mm-hmm. building relationships with one another, but you can see the relationships with God as well forming.
All right. Somebody else? Mm-hmm. Yes, Jason?
There's an elderly gentleman who's at this point now since passed away, but before he passed away, a group of us young adults and others from the church, we would visit him on Sabbath afternoons, and we would sit in a circle and we would sing some of his favorite songs, because he used to be in a choir. So we would sing some of his favorite songs, we would play the piano, we would play instruments, and we would just have a lovely afternoon talking with him, singing with him, praying with him, and giving him the experience, because he wasn't able to go to church because of his health. And so we kind of brought church to him.
Mm. That's beautiful. Aisha, I know you and your husband, you're part of a house church right now, and you do meet, you sing, but you also spend time together. How does that help you to experience Sabbath fellowship?
I think it encourages us. It encourages each other. I mean, we can grow individually and as a group, too, in learning more about God and just singing out loud his praises and his love for us. So
You eat a meal together, mm-hmm. you spend time together, you worship, you read scripture together, but just do you do any good? What would you say in a group like that? What good are you doing? It's good to do good on the Sabbath.
Yeah, I think I think we just encourage each other. We inspire each other to grow in our relationship with God.
Yeah. Does that sound like a good thing to do?
Yeah.
We're absolutely. Not just sitting going through religious service.
No.
Mm-hmm. We're encouraging one another, and we're inspiring each other in our walk with God. Sabina?
I'm also thinking, Pastor Derek, of an experience I had a couple years ago. I think that for about 6 months, I was visiting with a couple in the area of Benton Harbor in Michigan. And there was a lady, the lady of the couple, she was sick. So every time that we would visit them, either we would be praying also for her health, or we would take her to the hospital, actually, because she had a lot of pain. They had some financial issues that they were going through. So maybe for, you know, a typical Pharisee of Jesus' time, it would be a lot of work. I remember that we would spend the whole afternoon in the hospital for weeks, and I sometimes would get back home tired even and feeling emotionally drained and all that. But I believe that's what God wanted me to do at that time. And so it's a counter, you know, like it's a, how do you say, like an opposition to rest for some people, just being doing all those things. And it felt me feel physically tired, but I believe that's what God wanted.
I think that there's some words there, Sabina, that you mentioned, which is, I think it's what God wanted me to do. Applying the principle of not just celebrating a relationship, celebrating freedom, but celebrating being able to do good to others on Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need the Holy Spirit to guide us in that, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We're not all going to be in the hospital all the day, though some days we may, if that's what the Holy Spirit asks us to do. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one last area. You say, I think that the word Sabbath and celebrate should go together, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's a gift from our Creator. One other area we can celebrate is that we can celebrate what God is doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. I kind of reinforce what Aisha said about encouraging and inspiring each other in our journey. Let's look in Exodus chapter 31. And Shane, if you could read that for us in Exodus 31 and verse 13.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you.
Hmm. Someone help me with another way of saying sanctify. That's kind of an old English word, isn't it? That's the King James Version, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's 400 years old English. Mm-hmm. Give me another word for sanctify.
Separate.
Separate? Mm-hmm. Separate from what?
Separate, not in the sense of putting you like distance between you and God, but like set you apart for something.
To set apart? Someone else, sanctify.
Consecrate.
Consecrate, Jonathan?
Make holy.
To make holy. Mm-hmm. I always heard set apart, but for a holy use, to sanctify, just like he set apart the seventh day and sanctified it. Mm-hmm. So why is it important? You say, I think that's dangerous. I'm very much of a work in progress, you know. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a T-shirt? God isn't finished with me yet, you know. I'm very much a work in progress. Mm-hmm. Why is it important, though, on Sabbath to celebrate God's sanctifying work, that God is working in my life? I'm on a journey. Why is it important to celebrate that? Anyone? What do you think? Yes, Stephanie?
I think if we're referring to it as sharing our testimony, and that encourages other people in their walk with God, that's one way of looking at it. But I think it's also important that we remember that it's the Lord who sanctifies us, because he's the only one that can. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. So this is not a time to kind of stare inwardly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I should be staring up, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Right. But can we not celebrate the work he's doing in our lives?
Yes.
I mean, look back over the past year, 2 years, if you've seen God leading, should you not be able to celebrate that, get a little bit happy? Jonathan, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking that much of, to me, the symbology and the beauty of the Sabbath is it's this parable that we live every week of we do our part. Yes, we have a part of, you know, preparing for making money and taking care of ourselves. But then one day a week, we believe we don't have to do anything and God will take care of us. And I believe this verse, as well as Deuteronomy, the one we read, both tie that into our salvation as well. That our holiness, our consecration. That it is God who sets us apart. He is the one who will finish the work that He has begun in our lives, and we can, do our part. But it is ultimately our relationship with Him and this consecrated. Covenant that we have with Him that makes us sanctified and holy.
And it is God's work, and thank you, Rod. I'll come to your point in just a moment. It is God's work that you paraphrase, Jonathan, that the one who began a good work will be faithful to complete it.
Right.
That's good news, by the way, Philippians 1, verse 6. So it's His work, but can we not celebrate? One of my great friends, preachers, he now sleeps in Jesus. But and then I'll come to Rod's point. He said, I'm not the man I should be, but I thank God I'm not the person I used to be.
Amen.
I've been changed.
Yes.
That's something to celebrate, isn't it? Rod?
Yeah, just to build on what Jonathan and Bo Stephanie said, I think it's just important to remember that we are worshiping the creator of the Sabbath on that day and not necessarily just worshiping the Sabbath. And building on what Jonathan said, it's that day that He take care of us. Well, He took care of us every single day because He loves us so much. He takes care of us every day. And that day we remember it.
True.
That's beautiful. True. Thank you so much. And that's true. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath is not our one day with God.
No.
That's right.
The Sabbath is our special day to celebrate that relationship where He's shown Himself with us all week. Yeah. I do want to go to that text that Jonathan paraphrased. And Aisha, if you could read the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. The Philippian believers, they've been going through some hardships. It's a beautiful letter. But here's some encouraging words from the Apostle Paul.
And I'll be reading from the New International Version. I thank God, my God, for every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
You feel the love of the Apostle Paul just pouring out there. And what are some strong themes that are coming across? Anyone? Strong themes. Jason?
The love of Christ.
The love of Christ.
I've started a good work and I will complete it.
That God has started the work and He's going to complete
it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that you're still on
the journey,
right? You're still on the journey. He's saying, I pray that your love would abound even more and more. Mm-hmm. Which means every Sabbath day, we can celebrate that we're still on the journey, right?
Amen.
And not trying to save ourselves, but still on the journey with our Savior and soon coming King. So what would you say to a friend who maybe has been part of this or watches the program for the first time and says, wow, Sabbath, celebrate relationship, celebrate freedom, celebrate sharing God's goodness. I need that kind of Sabbath experience, celebrate what God's doing in my life. how do I get started with that, John? Just give me the first step. I long for that kind of Sabbath rest.
God's invitation is there. First thing I'd say is just receive it and just let him know in that. Accept his invitation and his gift.
All right. Anybody else? What would you say? Accept the gift? Jason?
I would say, well, actually, I would say, hey, I have a group. I have some friends. Come join us. Come hang out.
Yeah. Come experience Sabbath with us, kind of like Aisha was saying with the house church.
Exactly.
Come experience Sabbath with us. It's not a list of things you have to check off.
Yeah.
It's a relationship, actually, with God and with others who are seeking God.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And let's celebrate and encourage together and experience the Sabbath rest, rest in Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow, what a great study. What a gift. I can say I've grown in my understanding of Sabbath rest. And my prayer is that you'd see it as a relationship with a God who loves you with an immeasurable and unfailing love, and you'd rest in him. Not just on Sabbath, but all through the week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we're thankful that you long to have a loving relationship with all of your children. We've heard your word today. The gift of Sabbath is a special reminder. You're the God who loves us, who gives us freedom, and you want us to share your goodness with others and to rejoice in what you're doing in us and through us. May we experience that Sabbath rest because of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Sabbath it comes. Enjoy Sabbath rest, but experience the Lord of the Sabbath every day in your life. Praise him for his goodness and his unfailing love. Thank him for what he's doing in you, but don't hold it to yourself. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.